Make
Late Night Gamers Podcast, where we make all of your gaming habits seem acceptable.
Late Night Gamers.
Steve. Oh, this game sucks so bad, it's so unbalanced, blah, and then I just quit and never play it ever again.
Carlson.
What do you do in your free time? Sit around knitting? Screw that shit, I'm gonna cut off a dragon's head.
Tim.
It's okay if your guts spill out and you explode into a bloody mess, as long as you don't take your clothes off.
Late Night Gamers.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to Late Night Gamers Podcast, episode 31. I'm Nick Persnowski, and with me this week and every week is Tib Madden.
Monster kill.
Steve Morgan.
Stay a while and listen.
Charles Caldwell.
Power overwhelming.
And we have a special guest this week, Stephen Deal.
Now in 3D.
Not pointing to the little icon on my computer right now.
You're very 2D. You're a circle with a kind of a penis nub there.
That's what I aspired to be ever since I was a child. A very quizzical looks from my kindergarten teacher, but who knows?
You'll go far.
Your balls are on top. That's not correct. So Steve is with us this week. He is the founder and business director of Sanchi, which is an apparel and accessory company. And Steve, I'm going to put it out to you to kind of go into what you guys do.
Oh, okay. So this is where I prattle on about things, huh?
It is.
The very long story short of Sanchi, I was childhood friends with this fellow, Arthur Gabri, who is my business partner. Known him since I was about 8 years old. We kind of, as a joke, made a couple t-shirts, I'd say like 3 years ago, and ended up going to a convention, and something about owning your own business and making our own money, even though over the course of the entire weekend we made like $100 each, possibly, probably not even that, we decided to kind of like, okay, give this a real try and see what we can do. So we started making more and more kind of fan-based art and products, and then we got yelled at by a lot of companies as they're protecting their IP. That, you know, I can't blame them. I ended up appealing to a lot of them, going back and forth, and the, you know, like I said, the condensed story is they gave us permission. I got to be friends with a lot of people in the different companies, and I'm very lucky to have actually kind of met a lot of the industry members, and they allow us to produce merchandise. We make merchandise primarily for EA, but EA-based companies, so like BioWare is our main focus right now, and 2K Games, Irrational Studios, which no longer exists, but 2K in general. So if I were to say, if I were to describe us in a nutshell, we are a couple of fans, just making things for games that we love.
Yeah, that's awesome. And one of the big ones was the BioShock franchise, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, we've been going crazy with that. Honestly, Ken Levine was a bastion of support for us. From day one, even when we were making the fan stuff and it was unlicensed, he always supported us. On his Wikipedia page, for the longest time, I don't know if it's still the same, but it was at an E3 conference. He was wearing one of the shirts that we made for him, and for us, we just, that was it. If the company fell apart at that point, I would have been satisfied knowing that at least we got through to one person who we revered as such a talented person in the industry. And if you watch the ending of BioShock Infinite, no spoilers, don't worry. There's a point where there's just various employees from Irrational kind of talking and walking by and whatever. And at one point, Ken Levine walks by in the background wearing the shirt we gave him. And apparently he wears it all the time.
I know, I felt badass because I had that shirt. That was the limited edition.
My God. And you know what? That's the thing. It's like, Artie and I went into this, and it was just, it's something that we kind of poke fun at because the art on it is comparatively speaking to so many of the artists out there, it's awful. It's not bad, but you look at some of the people that do this all the time, and it's kind of like a joke, but there was so much passion that we put into it, and it sounds hackneyed and cliche to say that, but we really meant it. And Artie and I bonded a lot about Bioshock Classic and stuff that, you know, I had mentioned before to you guys that I could talk days on end about, but, you know, I guess that's where we come from. We don't make merchandise for games that we don't play or like. Even though it's hard to stay up on everything that goes out there, either Artie or I will play the game to the fullest extent. We will beat the shit out of it. But more importantly, if it's something that we can't work with, we just won't. So there have been occasions where we've had opportunities to work with different IPs, intellectual properties, and we've had to decline just for no other reason that we couldn't get invested in it enough, and we really try to pour ourselves out in the work that we do.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's fucking... We all agree that, you know, what you guys do is great, and you guys are so down to earth, and it's just cool to see like a success story with people that are, you know, such big fans of the medium. So
what you don't get to see is the seething hate that goes into every product that we make. A lot of people, it's not like Artie and I sit down at a table and we just high five the shit at each other as we just bang out ideas, and like there's, I don't know, Real American playing in the background, and we're just rocking out as we come up with ideas and being like, oh, we're going to make money. We get so pissed at each other while coming up with different ideas. Sometimes it works, and that's like one in a million. By a million, I mean we have like maybe 100 products total. Probably nowhere near that, actually, now that I think about it. But the development process is idea, and we both agree, like, okay, that's a decent idea. And then we start spitting out concepts. And I think the fact that Artie and I are so radically different actually kind of contributes a lot to the design as a whole, because we basically just punch each other in the face until something gets worked out that we can agree on something. And for the most part, at first, I don't want to say we hate it. We just kind of get to the point where we're like, okay, we're drawing lines in the sand to the point where we're like, okay, we can agree upon these things. And then a product was born. It's not from love. It's from love of that game, but then seething hate from each other. So you get this duality. And
no, the Dooku
tree. Emerging from the psychotomous relationship, you have a product.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that makes sense, though, because you've got to be critical, and you have to be able to, like, really think about it to make something good like that. So
yeah,
it's good that you guys have that relationship.
Yeah, I mean, I view Artie as a very... right now, I think I come off as animated and excited, and that's good. I try to do that. I'm very bland and boring in person. I promise you that. Artie, he's crazy. He's legitimately crazy, at least a little bit. And I think we can all agree. But he's an awesome person, and he always has been. I became friends with him because he was a genuinely good person to my brother, who is kind of socially awkward, but also a very good person. And from that, like that's kind of how our friendship was born. He's an awesome person. Artie, he's great. He's very creative, very talented. But sometimes he's a little nuts. And I view myself as very kind of... We joke around about the office that were we to sort of talk about the dynamic, he's sort of the Leslie Knope to my Ron Swanson, for those of you who are familiar with Parks and Rec. I tend to be very quiet, I'm a man of very few words when it comes to dealing with office matters, whereas Artie is just everywhere, and he wants to do everything 1,000%, and that's good, and I'm so thankful for having a business person like that, even though I legitimately want to murder him sometimes. it's something where it's worked out because he's not just a business partner to me, he's family, and if I hadn't known him for, at this point, 18, 20 years... I don't think I'd be able to work with him, but it's an unseverable tie. It would be worse than a divorce at this point. I know him too well. I know his family. I've grown up with him. I have too many memories. It's too much to turn my back on. So I have a lot of love for the guy, and through that, even though we're able to argue about things, or even though we just do argue about things all the time, we're happy with the end product, and we're always just trying to do better when it comes to that kind of stuff.
Nice.
Well, thanks for joining us. We appreciate you coming on and talking about some bullshit that we have to talk about.
Oh, absolute pleasure.
So we're going to get right into it, and since we talked a little, brought up BioShock already, we're going to jump into some news. This week, BioShock Infinite's final DLC, Burial at Sea, Episode 2, was released. I don't know that any of us have played it, but...
I bought it, I have not played it. I'm questioning whether I should have bought it after, because I did buy the first DLC, and I wasn't satisfied with it, but... It's that kind of thing where you get hooked in. You gotta buy it and play it. So I did buy it, but I also bought several other games at the time because they were on sale. So I bought the Tomb Raider. So it's probably far on my list of games to play.
Oof.
You weren't happy because they thought the first one was too short. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
I heard that the second one's supposed to be longer. So hopefully.
Yeah, that's what I heard too. I'm interested to see if it's still in Rapture, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
It's just a weird juxtaposition of the characters from Columbia to Rapture. This is very strange.
Well, the atmosphere as a whole is... It's almost opposite. It is the opposite. I'm just trying to mince that a bit by saying... almost. No, we're talking about... You get launched into the sky, into a beautiful sky city where the sun is blasting down and... You're in the clouds and everything's beautiful. It's gorgeous. It's radiant. It's bright. That's Columbia. You go to Rapture, you're miles under the sea. Maybe not miles, but you're down there. And it's dark. It's dingy. That's your introduction to, I mean, obviously from the classic standpoint, that's your introduction to Rapture.
Yeah.
It's falling apart because it's post-Civil War. But it is dark, wet, moldy, rusty, dingy in every way, and amazing for all those. But if nothing else, Irrational Studios has done an amazing job at creating an atmosphere and really going crazy with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the most startling thing was just the juxtaposition between the two with regards to like the storyline. Because as Booker DeWitt going into Rapture, I mean, obviously you've got all the baggage of Columbia in Rapture. I just wish they would have put in Andrew Ryan in the storyline. So maybe they will in the second DLC, because the character was just so electrifying.
I feel like that's kind of the direction that they have to go in to kind of like bring it all together. Even if it's just one line, if there's like 5 seconds of an appearance, that's all they need.
Yeah,
I think for me, the original BioShock was just such a... It was like a head-turner in terms of games. It totally knocked me off my feet when I played it for the first time. And I stayed away from BioShock 2 because I didn't want it to like ruin it for me. And then I played BioShock Infinite. And the end of Infinite just totally is another mind-melter. But I think to go back to Rapture is just a really cool... You know, like it's a chance to like go back and kind of relive some of the awesomeness of the original BioShock. So I think it's a cool idea. I haven't played any of the DLC, but you know, maybe I'll get it at this point. I don't know.
Yeah, one of these days when I buy another PlayStation 3.
One of these days to the moon.
So Steve, why don't you take this one?
Yeah,
I think you wrote this.
Yeah, I put this on. So. I guess Square Enix has basically come out and said that they've kind of gotten away from their JRPG sort of foundation with Final Fantasy and some of these other games because of the success of this new DS game. I guess it's called Bravely Default.
Bravely Default, mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And so I guess they're going back sort of to that style of JRPG. And you know how I love my JRPGs.
Which means Japanese RPGs, for those who are wondering what the hell a JRPG is. Because I certainly was. I was like, what the hell is that?
Really? Quagmire, why the hell are you still here? How do you know what a JRPG is? Come on.
Listen, Final Fantasy is just an RPG. It's not a JRPG. Why are you going to define it? It's like,
what are you talking about? Well, it's just a JRPG. God. All right, that's fair. That's fair. It's as long as you know what a Final Fantasy is, that's fine. And I say a Final Fantasy. And you're acceptable.
It's just weirdly labeling it. It's like...
Yeah. I'm kind of a snob when it comes to that stuff.
DRPG.
This whole thing, I think, is weird because, I don't know, I feel like Square Enix breathed life into these dying games, like Hitman, the new Hitman. Like, you know, there's all these games that these other franchises that they took over and kind of re-envisioned them, and I thought it was a good thing, you know?
Yeah.
Didn't they also do, what was that game? The Sleeping Dogs? Did they do that one?
Square Enix?
Yeah. Potentially.
Part of me wonders whether it's the fact that like some of their RPGs or the quality of the RPGs are suffering with as compared to their other games because their focus has been on other things, so they can't make the RPGs as good as they could otherwise.
Honestly, my two bits on the whole RPG era. I'm still a fan of RPGs, but back in the 8-bit and 16-bit days, you didn't have the most technology. There wasn't a whole lot of technology to work with. You didn't have these crazy 3D environments, you know, all sorts of things. You can do amazing things with the engines that we have now. You had to focus on story when it came to classic RPGs because you look at the fighting systems, and even now, I mean, I like them, but they're awful. You just have a menu, and you select what you're doing, and it's fun for me, but I can understand when someone says, I can't relate to these things. Yeah. I was sort of born into it, so it's, you know, I'm grandfathered into it, if you will. Yeah. But compared to all the things that you can do now and the fast-paced action sort of... Look at Skyrim. There's a game that you're in this crazy immersive world. You've got all these different skills. You can do so many different things. Amazing game. If you compare Skyrim to Final Fantasy VI, I'm going to pick Final Fantasy VI every damn time. They're still sort of RPGs in their own ways, but it's the story. It's the story that kind of makes the RPG. These are basically novels that you get to experience in a different way, and that's what makes them so impressive. It's the music, it's the atmosphere, it's the environment, but obviously the sprites contribute to it, but it's these aren't crazy graphics that they're boasting here.
It's still the sacrifice between like storyline and environment in which you're in, because obviously Skyrim has the insane environment, but you're right. I mean, the storyline in Skyrim is pretty... I mean, when you get down to it, the main storyline is pretty lame.
and Square is known for these Final Fantasies, and they're known for this... You have this sort of fighting style that's been established since Final Fantasy I, and you'll notice that there's a transition to later games where they're trying to kind of switch things up, and they're adapting to kind of how the market is responding to them, because it doesn't age well. That's my suspicion. Once again, I'm biased. I've already experienced I started off on Nintendo, so when I play these games, I still enjoy it, but I can't blame the newer generation of gamers not enjoying these games as much, the classics, if you will, because it's like Shakespeare. That in a very... very similar way, you have to really kind of be into it, involved with it, to kind of appreciate it, because otherwise it's a lot. There's a lot that's lost in translation, understandably so. So I think one of the newest projects they have is like a Realm Reborn, and I don't know that that's going full RPG. I remember seeing something at PAX Prime back in August, where they were looping this one video, and it looked awesome. So don't get me wrong; like, this is not to criticize. I'm saying what they're doing, the new direction that they're taking actually looks really, really good. I have no idea what it's about, but it looks beautiful.
I don't think I've seen much on it.
Again, I can only recall that video that they kept on looping, but. From what I remember, and so this is testament to their marketing team, as to how well or bad they did, basically, you have these different sort of... the feel that I got, think of Shadow of the Colossus, where you had these huge bosses, right? You had these gods, in this case, that represent different elements. You had a wind god, you had a fire god. The fire god was of course, like Ifrit, or something like that. One of the summons that they use time and time again throughout the Final Fantasy series. But it's not just the standard, like, okay, you have four members or five members of your party, three in a lot of cases, two now, where you just hit buttons, fight, use a skill, whatever, this character uses this, magic, lit three, so and so forth, you know. It's not that. It's more of a God of War, a Devil May Cry style of play.
Yeah.
But I have no idea. I'm just interested as hell. I see this and I'm like, oh, okay, this appears to be different than what I saw before, and I could be completely wrong, but it looks interesting, and that's what I like. The Realm Reborn, I think, is going to be a online RPG, and yeah. I know that they screwed up a lot of things with their first attempt. However, MMOs, they're hard. They cost a lot of money, there's a lot that goes into it, and they're not just a gold mine. WoW sort of set that standard of make an MMO and make $1,000,000,000. That's what you do. And then a million other companies were like, oh, we'll do that. And then they found out, wait, there's a lot more to this than that. So I'd like to think it's the previous Final Fantasy MMO as kind of a test run. I think they've worked out a lot of the kinks, or I'm hoping, and this new one will be the real deal. I don't know how I start on this tangent, but those are my two bits that became, you know, my soapbox. Sorry.
That's reasonable.
Final Fantasy, man. Do that to you.
I'm really just a whore for Uematsu, who is the original music composer for the Final Fantasy series, for those of you who do not know. I love the music in the series.
Charles, do you want to take our this?
Sure. Business? I posted on here about the Oculus Rift purchase. Just the fact that it was Kickstarter and it was purchased by Facebook for, what was it, $2 billion?
Yep. So,
how it pretty much undermines the whole concept of Kickstarter if you get something funded by a bunch of, like, a grassroots movement and then somebody comes and just buys it up for $2 billion. It's just kind of like, well, what did I pay for if this is just going to be eaten up so quick?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of issues with that. You know, there's been a lot of lashback. There's been a lot of, if you go look on Reddit, there's a lot of angry people. And then there's people accusing Facebook of, like, trying to, you know, make people post things to make it look like it's not as bad and, you know, not showing in people's news feeds on Facebook and stuff like that. But then on the other side, there's a lot of people who kind of point to like Instagram, some of the other purchases that Facebook has made where it was never really integrated. So, you know, I can see it from both sides. I think it sucks for anyone who, you know, paid in the original Kickstarter. I'd be pissed. I'd want my money back. But ultimately, I think it, you know, at least it's more money to help them do what they have to do in the long run.
Yeah, I thought it was telling that the lead developer on Minecraft was like, good for you, happy for it, but not going to be involved with you anymore regarding, like, a crossover with the Oculus and Minecraft.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it sucks, but I don't know. It's what happens.
At the same time, like, With Kickstarter, people go in and they put, you know, $10,000 you know, on these kickstarted projects, and you don't know if it's gonna actually become anything. So once you pledge that money, I feel like that you're kind of out of it. Like Oculus put on whatever, like, they give you a paragraph, whatever you pledged, that's what you got. It's not like, it says, you get, like, for a $10,000 donation, you get an Oculus Rift and 1% of share of company, like.
Yeah. I think that's actually what they, what they should move towards, because honestly, you are an investor, and if the company does go through a deal like this, that which, I mean, feasibly could be the expectation, is if a company succeeds and then they're bought up by a company that's going to be a bigger investor, is that you should have some sort of like preferred share. And that's how they, I mean, that's how investing works with like opening like public offerings for stock. It's just, this is very strange.
Yeah, I could definitely see some sort of amendment to Kickstarter to allow for this kind of thing in the future. I don't know if there's anything like this that's happened in the past where a company that started on Kickstarter was bought up, but obviously I feel like with the general anger about this, it wouldn't be too crazy for them to change the terms of service or something.
Has you heard of any like game like that's been on Greenlight that was picked up like this? I mean, Dota was just put on by Valve itself. I don't know of any game on Greenlight that hit with such force that it was picked, like, basically bought by all the people on Steam.
Yeah, I think Greenlight is just a little, it's more, it's not so much that it'll get picked up by, a publisher or something. It's just another avenue for indie developers.
So it's more like, put our game on Steam if people say Greenlight this, and then they'll put it on for people to buy it.
Yeah, well, I mean, there are cases of, smaller games being bought up by bigger publishers, especially in, the mobile sector where it happens every day. Hmm. Yeah, I don't know if anyone remembers when there was Draw Something Pandemonium. Everyone had Draw Something, and, you get Draw Something requests every 10 seconds, and then it was the number one app on the App Store for like weeks, and Zynga bought it for, I think it was like $1 billion or something ridiculous.
What?
And then it died. The game, no one played it like a week later. So I mean, that's another case of a game that started out small and exploded and got bought out and ultimately died.
Hmm. Well, it's interesting to say the least. This, I think it took everyone by surprise that Oculus was just like $2 billion, boom.
Well, what's interesting about the Oculus purchase, though, is that it wasn't like $2 billion cold hard cash.
Yeah.
I think it was $1.6 billion in stocks and $400 million in cash. Yeah. So that's still like a lot of money, don't get me wrong. But what this kind of implies is a degree of kind of correspondence between the two, where their success is mutually beneficial. It's not that the creator of Oculus can just divorce himself entirely from the project. I don't know, but this is my disclaimer, because I've read all the negative reviews, and I'm just going to play devil's advocate here, because there are a lot of things that get bought up and then just turn into complete shit. However, if someone's going to dump $2 billion on a product like this that shows so much potential, I would hope that they do something good with it. They know how much of a market there is out there for such a product. I would like to think that they would license it out, just like Nintendo licensed out their system to like various developers that want to make games for it. I think they're just... I hope that that's what they're trying to do. That they can just get kind of a piece of the action for everyone that wants to program for Oculus. It could really go either way, and it's too early to say definitively, but my opinion, I understand kind of the negative reviews, but also on Kickstarter, I see all the time, and by all the time, there's a few examples, literally three that come to mind, but that's basically all the time to me, in which companies that have money, you know what? Good example. Actors who definitely have... Zach Braff tried to fund something on... It was either Kickstarter or Indiegogo, but it was a crowdsourced sort of thing. He has money. There's no way that dude does not have money. He definitely has a Scrooge McDuck vault of money that he could dive and swim in from Scrubs alone. Garden State was already a thing. So, there's no way that he's hard-pressed for cash, okay?
Yeah.
And with that said, he's still going to crowdsourcing. I disagree with it sometimes, but the bottom line is fans are going to support what they want. the Oculus Rift. I was lucky enough to kind of explore that back in PAX Prime. I thought it was interesting. A dear friend of mine threw up as a result of it because he couldn't handle the whole motion sickness is a big problem. And I think it's going to be sort of like the Nintendo DS, or 3DS for that matter, where some people just don't respond well to it. It depends on the person. As a whole, I think it's an amazing idea. The whole Facebook buyout, I think it really could go either way. I don't think it's one-sided. I think it's something where people put their money into it because it got that... The Oculus Rift was able to get to the point where they were able to be bought out for $2 billion because of the support that people gave them. You know, it's a stepping stone. That's what these crowdsourced things are. They're stepping stones to bigger and better things, supposedly. Bigger, definitely. Better, we don't know. And that's,
the question in my mind is, would it be any better if it was Google that did the buying?
It's funny that you said that, because literally this morning, I had a conversation with my friend Zach about that very same thing, where I don't think people would be complaining as much if it were Google that bought them out. And if you ask me, I think Google should have bought them out. Because we kind of view Google as sort of the paladin of technology. This is the apotheosis of what a technology company should be. Facebook has obviously lost a lot of its sort of momentum for a number of reasons, and I think as a result they're trying to recover that by buying this thing. So maybe it'll play out, and if it doesn't, I think it's going to bite them in the ass hard. But I think the pressure is on Facebook more so than the creator of the Oculus Rift to make something of this technology.
Yeah, I just don't think of Facebook as a technology company regardless. And so you're right, it's like Google is, I mean, you do picture Google as like his paragon. They've got their weird like silos going around the world, having their like data encryption for whatever purposes. But then you see Facebook, and it's like, oh, Facebook has a billion users, but it's a social media network. It's not a technology company, unless they've got warehouses somewhere. It's just totally different. So it's just an odd pairing.
Right.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, it's a business. Yeah. So business is trying to acquire other businesses to make more money. And like I'm amazed that Oculus sold out for $2 billion. And not amazed because that's cheap, but I think we can all relate. Maybe it's because we're all peasants among kings, but we're all $2 billion? Oh, shit. If I made this thing and they offered me $1 billion or anywhere near that, give me the paperwork. I get it. Like, there's that sort of, like, idea of don't be a sellout. But you think of, like, bands that have sold out for, like, $10 million, and then you compare that to $2 billion. This guy can do anything he wants with the technology.
He's just going to turn it into porn.
Well, we all know that's the ultimate destination. Japan is going to be a huge market, and it's not because of video games, okay? So. All
right. God. I think that so brings that to a conclusion.
Case closed. It's porn. Someday, maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but Oculus Rift, porn. Also games.
Facebook porn industry.
It brings a whole new meaning to the word Oculus Rift.
All roads lead to porn when it comes to the internet. We know this. Any like altered reality, anything like that, that's where it ends up.
It's true.
Snapchat, come on. Are you kidding me? It's not because people want to send funny pictures of their dogs eating cake or some stupid shit like that. It's like, here's a dick pic. I know you didn't want it, but now you have it for like 3 seconds. So you can't save it, and I can't be charged.
Oh my god.
Also, I just got Snapchat today, so if you get any weird Snapchat, it's from me.
Snapchat me anything.
It's definitely me.
This just went a terrible direction.
As always.
Reality is cruel.
This week's segment, our weekly segment is... next week.
Remix.
Oh my god, the excitement is getting overwhelming for me. The Next week is PAX East, and I thought we would go over some of the things we're excited to see and some of the stuff we're excited to do and whatnot, and kind of do a little bit of a pre-show, get ready for it. So I don't know how many people that listen actually go to PAX East, because I know we have people that listen like all over the country, but yeah. Number one, I
think, all over the world, Nick. All over the world.
That's true. We do have France and England and a few places.
Weird places. The dark places.
Random places. I think that, I mean, you know, apart from the video games, I think we can all, like, before we go into what we're excited about to go to at the convention, I think we can all be excited about the parties that will be happening,
yes,
post convention, because there's usually a lot of drinking, there's swag, there's
debauchery,
good times to be had,
mm-hmm. getting my nerd on,
yep,
and
flailing.
One of our Steve is hosting a party.
Yeah, yep, yep.
Yes,
Sanchi party on Saturday night. What is that, April 12th?
I'm going to go click on the bottom right-hand corner of my screen here. Yes, it is in fact the 12th.
Okay. April 12th. Sanchi party at is it Game Zone? Is that the place?
Stadium. No, but that sounds awesome. So if you could tell me about that'd be great. No, we're at the Stadium Bar and Grill in the Faneuil Hall area. There are apparently, and this gets confusing. And by confusing, I mean it's actually really simple, but if you're a moron, you will not pick up on it. There are two and I'm an idiot, by the way, so I can't. I'm really, it's glass houses and throwing stones. So, there are two stadiums.
Yeah.
One is in somewhere else, and
not
one
near
is
Boston.
Faneuil Hall.
I've screwed this up too, so it's cool, man.
So the last year we went. Actually, the last 2 years we hosted the party at the Vintage Lounge, and normally I would list that as that which cannot be named, because last year we got plowed pretty hard, if you will. First year we had it, they were fully staffed, and it worked out very, very much to our advantage, because having people at the location that's going to be busy typically is a good business practice.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I've been told. I've never read up on this, but it makes sense. last year, overall, it worked out pretty well. However, the first hour, and you guys were there, and I apologized then, and I'll apologize now, was a nightmare. First hour, there were a billion people there, and there were like two bartenders. And we told them in advance, our party planner was there beforehand, and he does a great job.
Is that Hugh Jackman?
The manager, what's that?
Is that Hugh Jackman?
Oh, I wish.
The dude that looks like Hugh Jackman?
No. Wait, was he wearing a fedora? Because I don't think Hugh Jackman ever wears a fedora.
I think so.
Maybe then, because there's one fedora guy that works for us. His name is Dave from Exclusively NEP. I have to kind of plug him. He's perfect for the job. He's that guy. He's got a rehearsed smile. He looks smarmy all the damn time. He's handsome as fuck, but damn, he gets the job done. He's so good at what he does. And he was there in advance. The manager said it was going to be all set, and boy oh boy, the manager was wrong. So, we upgraded to the stadium. They were more amenable to our requests. The booze is cheaper, so yay! But also, the venue itself is larger. So we're able to accommodate more people by logical default there.
Yeah.
Still the custom drinks?
Most importantly, I've had several, and by that I mean two, discussions with the head manager where I really made it... I made it known that the reason why that we were going to that venue was because the other one screwed us so hard last year that there were two bartenders when we had floods of people at the door, and they could not accommodate everyone's requests in a time period or time frame that I found to be appropriate. So, with that said, I was like, I want at least 10 people here. And I even said, like, if we have to foot the bill to pay for extra bartenders, servers, and things like that, just to make sure, and you have to dismiss people afterward, fine. Okay. I just don't want to be in the same position that I snuck out to a liquor store, bought 50 nips, and started handing them out to people because I was so upset with what was going on, and I just wanted the people to have a good time. And it's not just like, drinking equals good time. This is not a Coors Light commercial. sponsored by Coors Light. But it's, I get it. You've had a long day. You've explored the convention. For us, we've been working for you, whether you've been kind of, there's a lot of things to absorb, and I get that. You want to relax at the end of the day.
You guys are working to your asses off too.
Well, there's just so much more, and to kind of rest your bones at our party and kind of try to have a good time and then be like stopped at the door and have one bartender. That's a nightmare. I know. I mean, like, it's not like I'm totally nescient of this entire situation. And so that's what upset me, is I didn't want to disappoint anyone. And so we addressed all those things. Bigger venue, more bartenders.
Custom drinks still? Like the Triforce and the Turian Tower?
Cheaper drinks and themed drinks. And we actually were partnering. By partnering, I mean we spoke to Drunken Moogle, who comes up with... It's basically the same formula every time. You find tasty drinks and you give it a kind of a gamer name.
Yeah.
There's no... Get rid of the smoke and mirrors. We know what it is. I mean, like, that's... But it's still fun. I had the privilege of going to... what's his name? Zero Punctuation. It's Escapist Magazine, this guy, Zero Punctuation. There's a moniker that he goes by that escapes me at this time, and I'm embarrassed that that is the case. But he owns two bars in Australia. When we did PAX Australia, one of them is in Melbourne. An amazing experience. Everyone there is of the gamer ilk, if you will. And there were plenty of themed drinks. I probably overindulged, specifically because I wanted to know what a Phoenix Down was versus a whatever. And that's... But that's what I mean. It's, like, that's, it's interesting to me. It appeals to me. It's pandering to me, but I'm buying into it, and that's okay. The message I want to send, if you come to our party, just have a good time. Like, I will do my best to treat everyone well. I think these guys can testify to that, that... I just want everyone to have a good time. It's a privilege to have anyone that decides to come there. You are supporting me personally, and I view it specifically as such. So hopefully this year will go a little smoother for at least the first hour, and I anticipate a really, really successful evening Saturday.
Yeah.
We're pumped.
Well, actually, that place is nice. We actually went there last year on Friday night.
Yeah.
Because we couldn't find a party, so we went there and just had some beers and stuff. So we've been there.
It was nice. So I'll see you Friday night. That's what I hear. Okay.
Yes.
Boom.
So yeah, PAX. PAX is coming up. It's crazy. A year goes by so fast, but couple things I'm excited about. Watch Dogs is going to be back, which was kind of an a thing I was excited about.
Now we don't just get to see it, we get to play it before it's released, after it was supposed to be released.
I think it's going to be a demo. I'm not positive, but I'm hoping, because we've seen the same Watch Dogs demo since like before PAX East last year, which is terrible. But I want to play it only because I have it pre-ordered, and I'm really hoping that it's going to be as good as I want it to be. But the second thing I'm looking kind of forward to is I don't know if I'm necessarily looking forward to it, but I really want to just know what the fuck this game is. Murdered Soul Suspect, where you're the main character dies at the very, very beginning, and you're, like, being a detective to find out who actually killed you.
So it sounds Ghost. Like...
It, well, no, it sounds like that Lindsay Lohan movie, Who Killed Me? So I'm gonna check out that booth at some point.
Have you ever heard of Ghost Trick?
Ghost Trick?
Yeah.
No.
It's basically the same concept where you, from what I understand, it was recommended to me by many of my friends. You die early in the game, and the whole game is it's a discovery detective mystery game where you kind of put the pieces together, and your ultimate goal is to save someone else from being killed by this person.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
That said, that it's a cool concept. Yeah, I mean, like that's that's it's a neat idea.
Mm. Cool. Lastly, the thing that I'm always kind of looking forward to is picking up one of the classic games in the classic game room, because they basically have every single console you can think of, and most of the games that you can think of on any of those consoles. So I don't know what yet. There's no specific game. I just want to go. I want to look through a bunch of games and just be like, yeah, we're gonna play this. Like last year, I think we played Mortal Kombat and just did all the finishing moves for every.
oh, this every, rabbit hole goes character. Deep, my friend.
Mm-hmm.
So. Yeah, that's what I'm looking forward to.
Dude, I want
to
play track and field in the old arcade.
You wrecked it last
with
year.
With the pad?
Yeah. Crazy.
Oh.
I had blisters on my fingers after that, man.
Oh, like the arcade game one.
Yeah, that one.
Oh, okay. Because I correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it Nintendo game, and they had, it was one of the few games that used like the, there was a mat.
It was a trackpad.
Think of like a DDR mat, kind of. Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah. It was a trackpad.
Oh, yeah, I had one. But it was awful.
Oh, my God!
It was just like...
It's the same game, I think, pretty much.
It was basically just like running in place.
Yeah.
That's what DDR is. It's essentially running in place, but with rhythm. So.
I know.
Oh, Nintendo, you don't dance like kids. That at a club?
You should, though. You should.
Oh. Can you imagine?
DDR.
You would do such a better job at, like, repelling women than I already do. Please dance like that at clubs. I don't go to clubs, but if I did, I imagine it would go just awfully.
They just kick you out for dancing like that.
So that's why I don't play DDR. I don't want to pick up any bad habits.
Yeah, you have to be really good to actually look good while doing DDR.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. I'm a fantastic dancer. I am awful at DDR. Little known fact, my first job. This is no joke.
You were a stripper.
Yeah, no. That's what everyone rounds to, though. But, no. First legitimate job when I was 16, I was a breakdancer. And... No. I what? Entertained at primarily bar mitzvahs and weddings.
Nice.
I got to join an entertainment company and paid for my first trip to Ecuador.
Awesome. That is awesome.
So many ridiculous things there, but the bottom line is that I still love video games and I play the shit out of them. But DDR is a great way of getting some cardio in there, but that is not how you dance.
No.
Well, it's better than your first job being a professional DDR player, so...
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Charles, things never on my bucket list.
Specifically, nothing that I've seen so far, though if I see Witcher 3 or I see... what the hell's the name of the game? I can't remember. But if I see any games that are intriguing, I'm going to go over and play them. But otherwise, I'm just going to absorb everything and just look for swag and... be as zen as I possibly can and just, like, slide in and out, grab t-shirt, slide out. You know?
give me another 2D Metroid platformer, Soul. Give me something that's, like, Ghouls and Ghosts, still impossibly difficult, and revamp it a bit, and more weapons, maybe, yeah. Like, another tier of armor. Sure. I'm there. That's what I want to see.
Yeah, I guess that kind of goes, like, I'm, like, looking at some of these indie games. Like, I was looking at some of them. There's some cool ones. It seems to be, like, a lot of iOS and Android, like, based games.
Oh, I have to give my obligatory plug.
Sure.
There's a game, Faster Than Light.
Yeah.
I am addicted to that game. So,
FTL,
the creators of the game, I very humbly sent them an email. I talked to them last year. We talked for a bit, and you know, we were gonna work with them for merchandising. They went with you're not supposed to do this in any industry where you like label the company or like, oh, the competitor. Fangamer did an awesome job with their merchandise. They're an amazing company. I love the people that run it. So props to them too. I think John Kay, who's their lead product designer, did an amazing job. So hats off to them. As long as they're making things like that, I am happy no matter what as a fan.
Yeah.
So fast forward a year later, there's a new release coming out. It's a free DLC for those who already have the game, but it's basically additional content. The game is awesome. And they invited me to play test it. So I have been playing the shit out of that for the last couple weeks, and they're probably annoyed with me at the amount of shit that I've been sending their way, being like, well, no, you could possibly change this ever so slightly. As a complete mantis whore, I can tell you that blah blah blah. And they're awesome. They're really receptive. It was basically made by these two guys, Justin and Matthew, and they're very sincere about their product. They seem very confident with the work that they do, as they should, but also they're very real, they're genuine, and in the gaming industry, that's all the more important, I think, these days. Mm. So, my plug, once the advanced release comes out, if you're already a fan and you've been playing it, definitely get it.
I die constantly. So do that.
But
constantly.
If you have not looked into it, please look into it. It's an amazing game.
Yeah, great game.
Dude, my engineers are always suffocating. Why can't they get oxygen?
Damn, dude.
What else?
Yeah, and I guess I'll just say what I was looking forward to. I guess the other things are the I might try to go to a panel this year. I never go because I always see the lines are so long, and you know
because they are. That's the reality.
Yeah, and but I might try to go to the Heroes of the Storm one this year. It's at the very beginning of the whole thing, so maybe I might wait through that. And since I got into Alpha and stuff, I'm kind of interested in that. And then the other thing was Project Spark. What did you say?
Did you say Heroes of the Swarm?
Heroes of the Storm, yeah.
Oh, that's the one, yeah. Heroes,
yeah,
it's kind
their
of combined two different Blizzard things into one.
It's okay, I say it like 9 times out of 10. I'm like, Heroes of the Swarm. I might have actually said that, to be honest.
No, it actually looks really cool, though. I mean, I'm very excited about that concept. Obviously, they're going with what is now defined as a MOBA.
Yeah.
But for those of you who are familiar with the old days, it would be called an AOS style map, and I'm actually really excited about it.
Yeah, it's cool. I've been playing it. I got into Alpha last week, and it's pretty cool. I mean, I know you have experience with League of Legends, and I'm pretty big into Dota 2, so it seems a little too simple. Sometimes it can be too simple, I think. But it's Alpha, and so some of the bugs and some of the like quirks that I have to kind of like let them slide, sort of, because I know that, I mean, it's just where they are in the game, so it's cool, and I know Blizzard's really good at making stuff work, so I'm excited. I still like it, so.
Dude, that shit started with a StarCraft map called Aeon of Shrife. Okay, Dota, Dota 1 was referred to as an AOS-style map. AOS refers to Aeon of Shrife, which is a StarCraft map. My roots run deep with that shit, so I mean, like, if there are bugs, that's fine. That is totally fine. I just love the idea of all these protagonists and the antagonists from, obviously, like, just such a wonderful wealth of franchises at their disposal.
Yeah, and they're very, like, humorous, too, and it's cool. It's cool. I think they did a good job so far with everything, and they're supposed to be releasing some new characters and stuff at this panel, so I'm interested to see what's going to come out of it.
Is there a Pit Lord character in there right now?
I don't think so.
Because I want to see the fight between that cinematic tear. Yeah.
The best cinematic, like, in all of, like...
Grom and Matt Theridan?
Yeah. That was the one where Grom Gall dies or whatever.
Grom Hellscream, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, dude.
His voice is very different. Warcraft 2 versus Warcraft 3, by the way.
Yeah.
Warcraft 2, that's all he does is scream. He's very aptly named. So, they did a really good job with that scene, though.
Yeah.
I think we can all agree that if Blizzard made a movie, hopefully it would not immediately bankrupt. Like, that sect of their company would not bankrupt immediately, like, a la Square. But they do cinematics so damn well.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, it's like you can tell that they spend a lot of time in it now, too, because they know that's, like, what they do.
Yeah, I think, you know, anyone who's played any Blizzard game would absolutely pay $15 to go see it.
I love you, just Sarge.
There's like, been, like, times in games, like, Blizzard games, too, where, like, the cinematics, like, saved the game. Like, I feel like in Heart of the Swarm, there was, like, some, like, parts of the campaign that were really bad, but then you just beat, like, and then there's a cinematic, and you're like, oh, God, I get to watch this.
Yes!
It's so great.
No, that's exactly what you're doing. That is why you're playing through it, because even if you hate the campaign, even if you think everything sucks, you're like, you know what? At the very least, there may be multiples, there's going to be a cinematic. I want to be there for the story that leads up to this cinematic. And think of that. Like, you'll play this entire damn game, invest hours of your life, you'll throw tens of dollars at this thing. Just if for no other reason than to get that ending cinematic. And by the way, I wasn't in love with it, with Heart of the Swarm, but it was okay.
Yeah,
I enjoyed it, and I'm still going to buy the next chapter, because I've gone this far. How could I not finish this marathon?
Yep, same here.
Yeah.
And, well, I guess I don't want to belabor what I was going to say, but I guess the last thing that I'm interested in is this game called Project Spark, which is, I don't know if you guys have seen
Xbox
it
Xbox game?
Yeah, where you can kind of, like, create your own thing and stuff. It looks really cool.
Yeah. It sounds like a more polished version of, like, what was that? The Sackboy game? What the fuck am I talking about? On PlayStation?
I don't know.
I like the idea of it.
It's ambitious. It's really ambitious.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
That's cool.
It's one of those things where, like, you have to reconcile ambition with reality.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Every now and then, it's more on your side than against it, but you know that it's no matter what going to fall short. And if it doesn't, congratulations, that's a miracle. Like, that does not happen most of the time.
Yeah.
Is it like a recreation of Spore? What the hell? Like, what do you mean?
Oh, yeah. There you go.
What do you do? I don't know. I'm looking at pictures now. I had to know.
It's really complicated. But this is like why PAX is awesome, because you can go and I can just watch it.
Right.
Like,
sometimes you can't give like a 10-second an elevator pitch of such and such a game, because if I did, it would sound awful.
Oh, you can build.
Like, if
shit,
I tried to
explain
faster than light beyond it's awesome and look at a demo, it's like, oh, it's like resource management. With wait, I'm
it's
done
a
with
space
this.
Game where you're
Hold
trying
on.
To escape
Just...
the Empire, who's trying to kill you.
Oh, dude, it's yes, yeah, yes. Let's go with yours. Makes way more sense, and it's not boring. Like, there's obviously so much more to it, but that's great. That's the way it should have been pitched.
Tim, what are you excited for PAX?
I've been excited about WildStar for a while, and I played in the beta a few times, so you know, I feel like I've seen most of the game, but I'm just excited to see if they have anything new there, you know, at PAX. But on the other side, I'm also excited about Warlords of Draenor, and apparently it's going to be playable at PAX, so I'm really excited to, like, actually, you know...
Wait, tell me about that, Warlords of Draenor? Like Warcraft lore?
Well, it's World of Warcraft, but they're revisiting Outland. Basically, it's kind of back in time. It's really convoluted story about how apparently I've came in who's the head of the Horde is now, but he goes back and he escapes. Garrosh goes back in time into Outland, where it was like orcs back when it was orcs versus I don't even know who it
humans
was,
but...
so it's like a it's something, some crazy storyline twist, but it's supposed to kind of go back to like the good old days of, I mean, for me, my favorite expansion was Burning Crusade. I think that's kind of like the heyday of WoW for a lot of people. So, you know, it's exciting. They're getting rid of flying. They'll be flying mounts, but you won't be able to fly initially. So it's going to kind of be like a, you know, old school, you know, force you to like fight.
It's like a mini reset. Like learn WoW what it was in the old days and enjoy it for what it was and get to re-explore that whole experience.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they haven't added in a
component of WoW where it's air combat.
Oh,
God! I don't know.
It's just funny because they like went to like another dimension and then they made like continents appear and now they're like, we have to go to back in time in another dimension. Like, it's like,
yeah. Next thing you know, it's gonna be like we're only going to two dimensions now. Like, it's gonna be ridiculous. They're running out of ideas.
Warlords of Pandaria.
I think it will, you know, for a lot of people, the game's kind of dying, so I think it will kind of, like, reinvigorate, especially, you know, a lot of people now are just people who have invested, like, thousands upon that, like, years of their life in the game.
No joke, though, seriously.
Yeah, the game is almost 10 years old. There's a lot of time invested in this, so I think that what they're doing now is just kind of appeal to those people who've been with them the longest, who, you know, have seen the game grow and mature, and for them, this is like a revisiting what really sparked the game for them. So it's, for me, it's exciting. I've, you know, I've been playing the game since the day it came out, so it's exciting to go back and, you know, kind of experience some of those fun things again. But so for me, that also they're gonna have Hearthstone on iPad, which I think is really cool. I enjoy Hearthstone, so it'll be cool to see it on like different devices.
Yeah, props to Hearthstone for being a good card game, good online card game that they thought out. You know, I haven't played it much, but it's fun. That is a fun game.
Yeah. I don't know how they did it, but they've managed to create like a really competitive game that is actually fun to play and like get into. And
also panders to the audience, but not in a way that's like, oh, get this because it panders to you, but it's like, oh shit, this, like, you actually still have to kind of put in work. You have to think about this stuff.
Yeah. And it's something where you can invest time, but not also have to invest money. Like, you can kind of just build your way up. And I mean, if you want to throw hundreds of dollars at it, you can. But otherwise, you can learn it and build a deck, you know, build a collection at the same time. And every year I want to play Magic, but I never actually get time to do it. But I want to try to actually do it this year. Maybe sign up for a quick draft or something. But I'll probably bring my standard decks and never play. But we'll see what happens.
Yeah, let me know if you do a draft because I'm down. I want to do it, but like we said before, time is limited.
Yeah. So. Yeah, between drinking and going to booths, there's not a whole lot else.
And standing in line.
Especially since the place closes earlier this year.
Yeah, that's right. Yep.
Cool. But yeah, that's it for me.
Steve Deal, anything you're excited about this year?
Actually, so it's sort of a double-edged sword. PAX, obviously a huge convention for us. All of the PAXs are. PAX East, PAX West, or Prime for that matter, and PAX Australia. But in preparing for these gigantic conventions, boy oh boy. So right now we're actually in the process of pre-building the booth so as to expedite the whole loading process and putting things together like that.
Yep.
But my business partner wants it done a certain way. For me to be candid, he's wrong. There's like, he's being neurotic, and I get why. He's half right, but he's doubling up on things that he doesn't need to do. We've had a discussion about it earlier, and it's really, I have to kind of pander to his neuroses to a certain degree. By the way, in case you were wondering, pander is the word of the day, apparently. I must have read it, and that's why I've said it like at least 42 times. But, so with him, we're building this booth. We're having it pre-constructed, so hopefully the whole process of loading into packs. That whole weekend is stressful, but also a fun time. And so we're going to have a lot of new employees. I'm going to really see what they're made of. I'm excited, but also terrified. We have a couple guys from BioWare, one in particular, who's coming up from Edmonton, or coming down, for that matter, Edmonton, Canada. Really great guy by the name of Rob. I'm going to be partying with him probably Thursday night, obviously before the action really starts. Side note, the guys at BioWare are awesome. They have been so cool and amazing to us. It's phenomenal. So really an amazing experience. So I'm really looking forward to obviously partying with you guys, partying with BioWare, and really just kind of seeing what the outcome is come hell or high water Monday. We are going to have a good time, I'm sure.
Definitely. It's inevitable.
Yeah. You know, we kind of have to bounce back from like the shortcomings of last year's party, though. And I know that we have the support. We've got some dudes from Rooster Teeth backing us as well. Guys at Rooster Teeth have been amazing, and extremely supportive as well, and I'm super appreciative for that. But all in all, this experience, PAX is great because it's one of like it's basically like a mecca that brings together the gaming fans with the gaming developers. It's like E3 is a little more restricted, obviously. You know, you have to kind of be in the industry, and I understand that. But PAX is perfect for me. I think that's such a wonderful, genuine experience because I can see people that are involved with this community and get to socialize and relate to them because that's what I do. And it's not every day that I can kind of walk into a restaurant or bar and just kind of strike up a conversation about things that I'm involved with and expect them to know what I'm talking about. But when I'm at PAX, more likely than not, they're going to know. They're going to know at least something about it. So I'm really excited about kind of being back in the community, seeing everyone there. I've got a lot of friends that are going to be going there, and really it just, for me, during the day, it's going to be awful. It's going to be a nightmare. It's work, and I get that, but after hours, I'm going to have a great time.
Any new shirts?
Oh, we get a lot of new shirts, so no need to list it out, but if I were to, like, reference some of my...
What's the one you're wearing now? What's the one you got to be wearing?
I'm actually, right now, I'm wearing a Junez sweatshirt. It's from the Persona series. It is a super, super comfy sweatshirt. We got some N7 fleece hoodies, which those are awesome for those of you who are fans of Mass Effect. We've got a lot of things coming out. But, you know, honestly, check out our Mass Effect and Bioshock line. But worst case scenario, even if you're not familiar with our products or things, just shoot the shit. I love talking to people, and I talk way too much, so that's what I do.
Nice.
www.sanshee.com. SanSHEE.com.
Had to double check. That's correct, yeah. That was correct.
Listen to questions, listening.
Alright, so I kind of threw it out there to some of our Twitter followers and asked them kind of, you know, we're having a PAX East pre-show, so what questions do you have? And at GB Loftus asked, what's the best thing you've ever left a convention with? And he says, mine was a David Finch signed his whole run of New Avengers.
That's cool.
Which is pretty awesome. I have two things that were pretty cool. One that was cool to begin with, which is we went to a Brink party for that parkour game a couple years ago. And this was at PAX, and it was a spray paint. If the first like 150 people that got there got a spray paint can.
Secret gift.
Yeah, it was a spray paint can with a T-shirt stuffed inside. But it, the It looked exactly like just a regular spray paint can, except the bottom unscrewed and it was all padded on the inside, so it was basically like contraband.
It was not a t-shirt, it was a mask.
Oh, yeah, it was a mask. You got a t-shirt too, but so that was pretty awesome, just because it was like so, like, I don't know, so out there for the type of swag that you thought you would receive. But when we went to New York Comic Con a few years ago too, I didn't realize how cool it was, but I got actually a first edition of the the Game of Thrones comic, like,
dang.
And it's the New York Comic Con special edition.
Oh, dang.
Which is pretty sweet, because I was like, oh, cool, and they were just like handing them out.
I still have mine somewhere.
So that's pretty awesome. But what about you guys?
My favorite one is the Plants vs. Zombies zombie head that I got. I terrorized the cat with that all day long.
I don't know how, but I want up like 10 of those.
Yeah, I had a bunch of them too.
Cat hates.
Yeah, I mean,
they had like tons of weird plushies. Like one was like a mushroom. I had like a bunch of mushrooms. I had there's like one that's like a weird little space alien in a little ship, and the ship is, he like comes out of the ship. I had like a million of them.
There's like a chipmunk with like a cape that doesn't have anything to do with, like, I don't even know what it has to do with.
It's nonsense. But the I think one of the best scenes from that whole like booth was it was one of those like strongman things where you had a giant hammer and you hit it. Like hit the button and it would hit the bell, and there was this like big guy that got up to it, and he only got the thing up halfway, and he hit it like three times. This like little girl comes up at like she's probably 20 years old, and she's like skinny and tiny,
like 110 pounds.
Yeah, and she takes it and she one swing, bell rings. The guy looked like a total asshole. It was awesome.
It was so embarrassing. I felt so bad for the guy. Everyone was like cheering him on. They're like, get it, get it. And he's like, and it's like, ping. And I'm like, so short. We're like, oh, okay, no, that's awkward. Charles, did you one-hand that thing that year?
I don't know.
The guy wouldn't let you. We're like, use one arm.
Charles is a warhammer.
Yeah.
I
don't know. I think last year we got a lot of like swag. We got a lot of t-shirts and stuff, and I feel like...
Yeah, I walked away with seven shirts because I just kept sneaking in places and being like, whoosh.
I feel like it made me kind of like a little bit over swag a little bit, because I ended up not wearing like any of them, or just giving them away to people, because I had like about a bajillion free t-shirts, and I'm like, what am I going to do with all these? I can't even wear them. So it's cool. I think some of the stuff is cool, but like, you can't get too overwhelmed in swag, I think.
Yeah.
There's a lot of cool stuff to see.
Well, I think I come home and I look at it, and I'm like, look at all this cool shit I have. And then, then 2 days later,
like, I got an alien that comes out of this stuffed animal, and I was like, okay.
Or those alien colonial marine bandanas. My wife was like, when are we gonna throw these things away? Like,
we're not gonna throw them away. We're gonna burn.
Never.
Them. You gotta rob a bank with a free sucker on your face.
I think the best thing I got, and I paid for it, so I don't really, it's not swag, but I got that wooden sword. And it was annoying because we brought all our stuff back, because we had checked out of the hotel and we were getting ready to leave, and they're like, you can't bring that in here, you can't bring that in on the floor. And I was like, I bought it on the floor, you mean you can't bring it in there? but unfortunately, I don't know if I can do that this year, because I got to fly on the plane. I don't think they would like me having a giant wooden sword. I carry it around all the time. My fiance is like, why? And I was like, I got to make use out of this thing. I just walk around the apartment with the giant wooden sword, like, all right.
Can I place a funny side note to that, by the way, real quick? You mentioned going on a plane with a wooden sword and how they would probably not be kosher with that. The last business trip that I went on, now, mind you, there are a lot of things that go into building a booth, okay? So I put my duffel bag through the scanner, and... not everything is metal. I got all the metal things and all the things that I was supposed to out of there, and my bag got pulled, and they went through it, and they pull out a sledgehammer, a rubber mallet, if you will, and a bag of zip ties. And they're like, so, what are these? And I said, okay. I was working a convention at the Orlando Convention Center. That's what I used to build my booth, amongst other things. I can, if you need to throw them out, please do so. And they did. They weren't awkward about it, but it just the idea of someone pulling zip ties,
yeah,
and a they rubber mallet out of my bag. I was like, ah, that is, ooh, yep. I,
okay, what are these? Due diligence. It's just my hostage stash. It's fine.
It's someone a rubber mallet. What's it gonna do to somebody's bones?
It's ridiculous. Yeah, I always want, like, I guess this is kind of also a side note, but I always used to go through, like, the security with my bag, and I'd have all this shit, like, from my computer, and I'd, like, I think I had that MOGA controller, which I got at PAX, and all this stuff, and, like, they'd pull it out, and I'm just like, how does it take them so long? Because that thing must go through the scanner. It must look like a fucking bomb. Like, it's just all these, like, hard drives and wires, like, twisted everywhere, and a controller, which has got, like, a board on it. There must be this, like, oh my, like, it must do that all the time, but... Yeah, yeah, I had to, like, that was super awkward. I got all my stuff pulled, and they were like, what is this? I'm like, it's a game controller. I'm cool.
Yeah, it's a remote controller for the droid that's flying outside the building right now.
Yeah.
It's going to deliver a Domino's pizza.
Because it came in this, like, leather bag, so they had to, like, open the bag and, like, look in it, and it was, like, really, it was embarrassing.
Every time I go through, a lot of times I'll bring, like, my magic decks, and they always take my magic decks out, and I don't know why. I think they're just, like, really dense, but...
Yeah, that's actually why.
One time the guy took it out, and he had, like, this little test strip, and he was rubbing this test strip all over it to see if it was a bomb. I was like, could you just not rub whatever that strange substance is on these hundreds of dollars worth of cards, please? And then he starts taking them out, and I'm like, just be gentle. But, yeah, so now I don't fly with my magic decks if I don't have to.
Could you not chemically alter my bitter blossoms with just right now, okay?
Did everybody go?
Yeah,
I think so.
Okay. Well, this next listener question has been, I think, covered like a million times over. But
yeah.
At that Chaffee asked, "Do you guys try to collect all the freebies?" And that's like half of the battle at PAX, just collecting everything you possibly can. I remember that first year we went down to PAX. I think it was like 4 years ago now. 3 years ago. Three. I don't know. Doesn't matter. Irrelevant. But we carried around, like, those gigantic, like, not canvas bags, but they were, like, the... I don't know what kind of bags they were. They were plastic bags, but they were, like, hard...
We love fine.
The what?
We love fine. They're these huge bags. If that's the company. They have these gigantic swag bags.
They're enormous, and we had like three.
They're ungodly. They're 5.5 feet tall, and that is, by the way, not like hyperbolic in any way, shape, or form. That like they're actually 5.5 feet tall. Like they have a huge strap. The bag's gigantic. We love fine.
It's ridiculous.
I did not know that.
Yes, that is correct. Ridiculous is that is the word that you would use.
I try to avoid all of the random knickknacks and try to go for the big stuff that I'm at. Like t-shirts.
Remember when we waited in the Neverwinter Night line, and then at the end they would like tell you what you got? Like it would be like this. There would like the game would
roll.
Like, the game would roll a random thing, and be like, you got a bag of coins. And be like, fuck.
I got the glass vial.
There were chocolate the glass vial.
I got the t-shirt on that one.
Remember we were just gonna steal the vials because we're like, that's what I want.
Yeah, I feel like some of them are like. Some of them you gotta like fill out questionnaires and stuff. Like, this is too much work. I'm not putting all this effort into this.
Like us on Facebook and you'll get a free shirt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Jesus.
And there's always the one guy who doesn't have a smartphone.
Me? Well, you can't get friggin' internet. Yeah. And you can't get like internet there. They're like us on Facebook. I'm like, I'm trying, dude. I'm seriously trying. Give me credit.
All
But there's always, like, the random stuff that's just kind of like, you can have a coaster or a koozie. And I'm like, I don't know. Why would I want that?
Yeah.
Maybe a koozie. Maybe I could use a koozie.
Yeah, I was like, wait, hold on. Koozie sounds very, very appropriate for the things that I do on a right now basis. So.
Yeah, definitely. And also, I think, like, beta codes and things like that are also I enjoy that because that gives me a chance to play some of the games that I got to see or didn't get to see. And I mean, they don't have them a lot, but sometimes they do, and that's really cool. I mean, I don't know. That's not swag, but it's still something.
No, oh yeah. I mean, that's obviously a big draw of these conventions is, like, they blast this new content to an anxiously awaiting audience for good reason.
Yep.
Except for DuckTales.
I actually like DuckTales, so fuck you.
But we went to the session where they played the song like four times. They're like, hey, DuckTales. And we're like, yeah, well, you heard it the first time, okay?
What was wrong with... Oh, God. DuckTales. Well, first of all, you can't say DuckTales without following it up with, like, a woo.
A woo!
Side note, they actually kept all the music the same, and they just remastered it. I know this because the space level has amazing music, and it's the same.
It
and
does have
happy.
Amazing music. You are absolutely correct in that statement.
It looked really good. It's just... I wasn't too keen on it after they played the video for it, like, four
it's
times.
It's so random. Yeah, and I get it. Like, I do, because we get stuck across from a lot of booths sometimes that they're obviously plugging one thing into someone. It's new every 5 minutes. To me, it has been old for the last, like, 12 to 20 consecutive hours, and I am so done
Shut
with it.
The hell up.
But I can't believe... You know every word that's going to come out of whatever protagonist or antagonist's mouth. Like, you know it's a good script, and that's fine, but you hate it. You learn to hate it. Even
you start
if
to mimic
before,
them in your
you
mind.
You do now. Oh. But, hey, that's why they're there. They're there to promote and plug, and they do an awesome job at it, so.
Yeah.
I think that brings us to our not top five this week. And it's the top five worst mistakes to make at game conventions. Which
rapid fire?
The first one I brought up was the first year that we went to PAX. We were way too far.
Away.
We were like miles away from the convention center at our
hotel.
Weren't
we in like Dorchester? We were like
we were far away.
We had to walk like on a dirt road across near the river.
Dorchester, okay.
Yeah, we were in a bad place, and it rained that whole weekend. So we walked the 2 or 3 miles from the to the convention center, and then we were at the convention center and parties all day and all night. So it was soaked.
We had to walk back.
Yeah,
taxis, man, taxis.
I know. I don't know what our problem was. Like taxis between
cheap.
Like
we can have legs. We can walk.
Yeah,
until you do it once, and then you're not cheap anymore.
Yeah, you're all smart and like successful enough that you make enough money that you can take a taxi. Okay,
absolutely not. I'm gonna.
I'm bumming a ride, by the way.
I will roam the earth. I'm gonna walk about or something.
Charles's boots were made for walking.
Oh God.
Number two. Charles, why don't you take this one?
Sure. Trying to fit everything into 24 hours when we went to New York Comic Con.
That was the worst experience.
We drove 7 hours to go to New York Comic Con, and then we were expecting...
Okay, wait. You have to start at the very beginning.
Yeah.
Everyone drove from New Hampshire to my place in Vermont. We slept for 2 hours on a Friday night.
And we were woken by my terrifying ringtone.
Terrifying indeed, yeah.
At 2 o'clock in the morning, we drove the 7 hours down to New York City. We parked at the hotel, took the train to the Javits Center, and we spent all day long at the Javits Center for New York Comic Con, went to parties afterward, walked... This was during the time of... Occupy Wall Street. So then we walked all the way down to Occupy Wall Street, which was like, you know, it was like 50 blocks away.
This was at 1:30 in the morning, by the way.
And we had to run to catch the last
the last train back to Queens, where our hotel was, and
then we smoked the bed, and then we woke up and drove home.
No, you're forgetting a major point here. We were supposed to have, there were four of us, we were supposed to have two twin beds, and one queen bed. So, not only did I sleep on the floor at Nick's apartment the night before, but then I slept on the floor again with, like, a couple towels for padding. That was, like, my mattress for the night.
And it was a smoking room, so it smelled awful.
Yo, welcome to conventions. That's what you do. You improvise. You MacGyver that shit.
Yeah, I wasn't as bad as the Arua at PAX, and we wound up with like 20 people in our hotel room, and I'm pretty sure Brandon slept with like one of those little sleeves that goes on the armrest of a couch. That was like
he rummaged through somebody's bag and just started using clothing as blankets.
Yeah, he pulled stuff out of my backpack and was just using like my pants as like a. I was like, dude, what are you doing?
First mistake, you pulled stuff out of your backpack when your backpack is a perfectly good pillow right there.
We, convinced him to stay in the hotel room. I was like, yeah, I'm sleeping on the cushions. You should come back. And he was like, oh, it sounds like a bad idea. I was like, nah, you're fine. And then he's like, what the fuck? There were so many people in the room. Like, I wasn't even supposed to be in the room. I was sleeping on the couch cushions or something.
Yeah, there was a lot.
There's no way I was giving up my bed spot.
That was ridiculous.
Ever the altruist.
I know.
Number three.
So invite me to that, by the way. Wherever you are that there's like a horde of people sleeping on floors and in showers and shit, like I just want a taste of that.
Well, right, as of right now, there's going to be like 9 people in my room, and it's like
you mean
about,
you're
being
organized and responsible, and you've used your Star Wars points to get like a suite somewhere and shit like that. I don't want to do that. Jazz it up and make it sound like a shit show and invite me. Okay,
be
assholes about this. Don't steal my hope.
We're gonna be at Steve's playing Super Smash Bros. Drunk off our ass.
Yes, all right, do that.
I'm going to get that this weekend.
Are you really gonna bring that?
Yeah, bring the console.
Excellent. Cool. Awesome. Do you have Mario Party?
Controllers? I don't have Mario Party. No.
Okay.
Yo, also, you have GameCube controllers? Bring those because I got my Wii and I can get some old shit on
I
it.
I might.
But... Well, somebody bring. I have a couple. Anyways, number three.
I have a couple of controllers too.
Sure, do it.
Number three. Someone else take this.
Yo, we just talked about this like a ton, and number three is basically not taking advantage of all that swag, because there's an infinite amount of swag, and actually we, as much as we talked about how much swag we get, there's a lot of swag that we don't get, that's like legitimate swag, like some of them aren't even that difficult to get, like, you know, get the most likes on, take a picture and get the most likes, you know, and hashtag like Asus, and you get like a freak like motherboard or computer or something, and you're like, if I was, like... Like, that's not even that hard if you have friends that just fucking like your shit. Like, that's not even, like...
Right.
And we're just like, ah, I'm too lazy to do this shit. Fuck that.
Yeah.
So there's so much stuff to be...
The second part of this,
like,
I put down.
If you have to talk to someone, that's too much work.
Yeah, exactly.
It's on the table.
But you know there's kids that roam around there and just get graphics cards galore.
The second part of this that I put down was there's not enough swag. I feel like there's a pattern between... different patches where if they have a lot of high-profile games or game developers, then they kind of scale back the amount of swag that they're going to have. So you really have to go looking for the good stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think not last year, the year before, there was an NVIDIA one where you had to go and like get it punched at all these booths.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like we did that, and then last year they had the Magic Head one where you had to go and like solve all the Chandra riddles. They're like this big card. You have to go solve a riddle and fill that out. So I mean, there's always one like Easter egg hunt game.
Yeah.
Where you have to go figure things out.
There's gonna be QR codes all over the convention center. So we gotta take those.
That, yeah.
And because you get some sort of special swag if you get all of them. It's like it's a PAX like
related thing.
It's a Penny Arcade thing. So
cool.
So yeah, let's do that. Number four, being impatient. If you're impatient, stay home. Because
something virtue.
Because patience is definitely something you need. Because you like, I mean, honestly, half the time you spend at any convention is in a line, And I mean, we go, like, the past 2 years, we've gotten there at, you know, probably 8 o'clock in the morning to stand in line, only to get inside the building to stand in line to get into the convention center to stand in line to
gotta beat those lines, man.
Make sure you charge your batteries and, you know, bring some portables to play with.
Yeah, bring
patience is a virtue. Being aggressive is also a virtue.
Yep. You need to. There's no running allowed, but you can walk with authority.
You can walk with your elbows fully engaged.
Throw elbows, flailing them, knocking down like old ladies and everybody in the way. It doesn't matter.
Children are allowed, and so you can pick them up and throw them at others.
Oh God, Charles.
Number five.
Like this is relatively related. Number five is wearing uncomfortable shoes because.
Has there ever been a box where we haven't worn? I mean, somebody's worn uncomfortable shoes.
This is why I put question marks. But I mean, I think this is also goes with everything. Like just wearing like comfortable, being comfortable, and like being prepared.
Yeah.
And I think another thing that was really good is if you're gonna. If you plan on getting swag, bring a backpack and like don't put anything in it. Because the first year we had I forget what we got like some annoying bags, so it was just like constantly holding it. I think at one point we had like stuffed our arms through little like holes on the side of the bag. Using it as like a makeshift backpack that was like horribly uncomfortable. It was just like, I hate my life, I don't want to hold this anymore.
Yeah, that was the worst. It's just dedicated backpack for all of your swag. That way you can easily access your zombie head and throw it at people.
Well, honestly, like that backpack is so important because it should have any charging cables you need, extra socks. I bring extra socks because my feet get like sweaty and disgusting halfway through the day.
You're so excited, dude! Yeah, it's the anticipation.
I bring the queue aisle. Yep. I bring my.
You gotta make sure you're prepared.
Speaking of charging, it's actually pretty difficult at PAX because it's like you have to like hunt for a while down hallways to try to find like an untainted outlet somewhere.
Right.
if you're tired, just pop a squat on the corner.
Well, just go to the 5-hour energy booth and get like a 100 5-hour.
We walked by that like 20 times, grabbing handfuls. Like, all right, thanks.
Yeah,
seriously. My body is entirely fueled by 5-hour.
They don't even care, too. They're like, you want 7, 10, 50? Here, just like...
you'll have your, like 15,000% of your daily intake of vitamin B12, but
it's got vitamins and
B12'd up for, like, the rest of your life.
It's fine. It only causes, like, a few heart palpitations, but...
Shortens your life, pal. By
red heart attacks, but... Yeah,
I mean, you know it's great when it says it has 0 calories, but it has energy. I mean... Yeah,
right.
Those may or may not be related. I don't know.
It subverts all biological processes of making energy, and instead refers to mental ways of fucking your brain into creating shitty things in your body that make you active and make your heart just kind of go crazy. And it's like, oh, trick your body into having a heart attack. Adrenaline, the liquid form. So which good. I understand it's a liquid, but still, like... Oh, God. Yeah.
It can be defined as a stimulant.
It is a...
With that being said, I'm going to run to it when I get into PAX next year, so...
Yeah.
All right, you got to get some.
Bottom line, you want to be awake and alert.
All of them taste the same, Charles.
they always give you grape or whatever they can't sell.
40-hour energy. They say only take 2, take 16, because who cares?
Yeah.
Worst case scenario, you have life insurance, right? So, that's how that plays out.
Yeah, they also say you should ration one, but then I always wind up chugging the whole thing.
Yeah.
Oh.
Charles bites into it and shotguns it like
a kid. He shotguns a 2-ounce.
I wonder what that would taste like, actually. Like, putting... Putting maybe a 5-hour energy in a vodka or something.
No.
Not good.
This sounds like a heart attack.
You gotta take the uppers and mix them with your downers and make the.
It sounds like another Four Loko problem. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
We said there was a problem with Four Loko.
the
like food 20 drop another story for another day. Boy, oh boy, I could talk about that for a while.
All those like zombie college students that were like going to hospitals and dying.
Like one time when I was in Germany, etc., etc., etc. Yeah, that's a real story. About.
Oh, I guess you just gotta taper it off with some bath salts or something.
Yeah,
exactly.
Be a zombie that eats people's faces, hobo faces.
I think the moral of the story is: don't be a moron with what you put into your body, and you'll be okay. I mean, and if you're gonna be stupid, be stupid within a safe environment where you can't piss off other people that you're not familiar with, but rather your friends at home. You puke in a stranger's sink, that's one thing. You're an asshole. But if you're at your friend's house and you know you puke on the floor, it's like, oh, dude, that's a bummer. Wow. I got you, though, and that's fine. It's like a bonding experience. Don't do that either, but, I mean...
It's also a bonding experience if you're with your friend in a stranger's place and there's no strangers
around. As opposed
to
being an awkward asshole. Like, again... I am so good at being that very thing. So that's why I doled this advice out from experience. 10 years ago. No.
Right. Well, that brings us to the part of the podcast where we quickly go over what we've been playing. So, Tim, what have you been playing?
I have been hopelessly addicted to Reaper of Souls, Diablo 3. So I've already got... I got level 7 in like an hour. It goes by super quick, but so I'm Paragon level. I think I'm like 130 something now, and grinding Torment 2 or something. But it's fun. I think if you enjoyed the original, you would enjoy the expansion. It's it's little changes. It feels like I feel insanely overpowered now. Loot 2.0 is nuts, but it's fun. It's worth picking up.
I've heard they've fixed a lot of problems, so I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's fun.
Steve Morgan, what are you playing?
Dude, I've just been... I played Heroes of the Storm a bit, and I've just been grinding Dota, man. Just gonna go pro one day.
Have you seen... speaking of Dota, have you seen... I forget what it's called. Yeah, Free to Play.
No, I still haven't seen it, but they've been like marketing it in the game, and if you buy it through the game, you get some sets that some of the guys use in the movie and stuff. I've been meaning to watch it, / maybe purchase the... Ryan purchased it, so he runs around with his gear and he tries to show it off and shit.
it's good if you like... if you like gaming in general, I would totally watch the movie. It's a good like documentary.
I heard that once you get like over 22, though, they say in that documentary, once you get over 22, you're like done. Your gaming career is like over. So
yeah, it's really there's a lot of insight into like how it, like, they basically after a certain point you kind of become like a manager for the team because your reactions aren't fast enough.
Yeah, which means my gaming career is over.
Yeah, that's cool.
Sad.
Steve,
sad day.
Steve Deal, what are you playing? Anything right now?
Fast and light. I feel like it's aptly named because time goes by just as fast when you're playing it. So, I'm a huge sucker for kind of quote unquote classic style games. I like chiptunes. I like the 8-to-16-bit graphics. I like the new stuff too. Don't get me wrong, but they've been awesome to me, and they made a very good product, so I'm very happy through and through. So Fast and Light has been my most recent sort of gaming obsession. And if I were to tangentially, if I were to get the syllables correct, like a real people.
Jackie Chan.
I played Cave Story for the first time like a little bit ago. And that was an awesome game. Again, kind of falls in that same vein of sort of neoclassic, blah, blah, blah. But
yeah,
I'm a sucker for that sort of stuff, so.
Nice. I think we all are on the show, though, so.
Yeah,
so
definitely. Yeah.
Good. I don't feel like I...
Final Fantasy Tactics.
Charles, what are you playing?
I'm still playing Castlevania Lord of Shadows. I gave Kingdoms of Amalur a break. I've gotten to this... And I've also made the mistake of not playing Castlevania Lord of Shadows with a controller, or rather the keyboard or mouse. So right now I'm at this point where it's pretty impossible to defeat the boss. So I'm a little Yeah, I think I might have to break down and actually get one. But we'll see. Maybe my my perseverance will lead me to succeeding.
Excellent.
It's my dating life, by the way, in a nutshell.
I started playing Infamous Second Son on Saturday, and I beat it on Sunday. So that was like 15 hours of gaming right there. That I just beat it. I 100%ed the game.
Oh jeez,
on good karma. Over 2 days, which was Dana was working. She had two 8-hour days in a row. So.
We've reached the end of our show, so thank you everyone for listening. I want to thank Steve Deal for being a special guest this week, and if you're going to PAX East, make sure to go to the Sanshi party, make sure to visit the Sanshi booth, and pick up a t-shirt or some accessories or whatever you can get your hands on, but spend your money, because they're an awesome company, so... yeah, thank you, Steve Deal.
I've had an amazing time. Thank you very much for inviting me onto the show.
Yeah, thank you.
Oh, absolutely, for sure.
Thank you, listeners. Thank you, Tim. Thank you, Steve. Thank you, Charles. I'm Nick. This has been Late Night Gamers Podcast, episode 31. And we will see you at PAX East.
Late night gamers.
Steve.
Suck so bad and so unbalanced, blah, and then I just quit and never play it ever again.
Carlson.
What do you do in your free time? Sit around knitting? Screw that shit, I'm gonna cut up a dragon's head.
Tim.
It's okay if your guts spill out and you explode into a bloody mess, as long as you don't take your clothes off.
Late night gamers.
All right, well, thank you for joining us tonight for our podcast. I've had a great time. This is guest speaker Steven Deal speaking from Sanshi.com. These guys have been awesome. I've had an amazing time. Thank you very much for inviting me onto the show. I want you all to have an amazing evening, but, you know, join us next Tuesday for our next cast on God knows what, but we're going to have a great time.
All right, man, thanks a lot for coming.
Yeah, thank you.
And we will see you at PAX, so.
Oh, absolutely, for sure.